Hey, it's Sparky, 5:55 past the hour. Time for another Milwaukee Sports Timeout. This time with Greg Smith, part of the Rivals Network, and covers the Nebraska Cornhuskers at Inside Nebraska. Joins us, a longtime friend. Follow him on Twitter at Greg Smith Rivals. Okay, so tell me this: your reaction when you heard that the Badgers were letting go of Paul Chryst, whose record is eerily similar to or identical to Mr. Solich, who got let go by Nebraska years ago and has been all downhill for Nebraska since.
Yeah, so my first thought was, man, I'm kind of surprised that they're just going to go ahead and fire him like kind of this early in the season. My second thought, honestly, was, here goes Wisconsin copying Nebraska once again. So, yeah, those were the first couple of thoughts, but I'm kind of surprised that they went ahead and did it. But I guess the fan base is kind of split over whether or not that was the right move. Huh?
Let me tell you what I'm not really mad. I'm stunned that they fired Chryst. Yes, this is where my issue becomes. My issue becomes, I don't want Jim Leonard, and that's the defensive coordinator, and a lot of people think that Nebraska had big time interest in Jim Leonard, and maybe that's what this is all about. So you tell me, how much interest do you think Nebraska has in Jim Leonard being their next head coach?
You know, it's really ironic because I'm doing this interview with you like in the lobby of Nebraska's complex, but I do think that so it'd be weird if like Trev walks by right now. But I do think that there's interest in Jim Leonard. I don't know if he's like the top candidate on the list. I would not put him at the number one guy. But I do think that like a lot of schools around the country, and especially in the Big Ten that would be looking for openings or have openings, Leonard would be towards the top of that list. I think he's a solid candidate. It's just tough to make a guy here and at Nebraska a first-time head coach because Nebraska has been through that, and they are kind of nervous about that and want more experience, at least the fan base does. So, you know, he might not be at the top of the list.
Thank you.
Why is he not at the top of yours?
He's for the same reason. For the same reason.
Okay.
For the same reason. I do not want to go through, well, let's see if this is going to be any different than Paul Chryst and Brett Bielema and Barry. With all due respect, I'm spoiled. Like, we've been to bowl games, right? We've won our side. How do you get to the next level? How do you get to the playoff? How do you get to the point of not getting crushed when you get to the Big Ten championship game? And I'm having a hard time buying in that the guy that has lived, played, and coached with the Wisconsin Badgers is going to do anything different than his predecessors have. That's where I'm stuck. Me, I want, give me a proven head coach, right? Some people are saying Dave Aranda at Baylor. I don't think he comes back to Wisconsin. Lance Leipold at Kansas. That would be my guy. You know, six titles at UW-Whitewater. I don't think Kansas could keep him if the Badgers offered him the job. He's had his coaching staff with him since Whitewater. He brought him to Buffalo. They're with him in Kansas. That offense is not what the Badgers run on offense. Again, that's a positive as far as I'm concerned. He's been able to recruit good enough players to turn around Buffalo and Kansas in short order, and now you're going to give him a proven program like Wisconsin. And again, he's a proven head coach that's done it. I just don't think Wisconsin's at that point where they can roll the dice and hope a first-year head coach works out. And I understand what you're saying about Nebraska, because they should be doing the same thing.
Yeah, it's fascinating that you feel that way, that strongly about Leipold, because, you know, we have a message board here at Inside Nebraska, and it is very split on whether or not he is a big enough name to be the next Nebraska coach. But for all of the reasons that you just laid out is why I think he would actually be very good here. And I do think that he's higher on Trev's list than Jim Leonard is. So there could be an interesting battle brewing for between Nebraska and Wisconsin for him. And I think that Wisconsin might have the edge just given his ties there and then being further along kind of their rebuild development, or it's not even really fully a rebuild. But yeah, it's really fascinating that we could end up, after all of our battles on air, be in the market for the same coach with the teams that we cover.
Right. Now take it a step further, right? So Scott Frost could recruit. I know you and I talked about it, like, oh, this is a pretty good recruiting class.
Absolutely.
That's a pretty good recruiting class. But his coaching staff couldn't develop the players, and that's essentially what got him let go. And with Paul Chryst, the last two or three years, they've had some of the best recruiting classes they've had at Wisconsin. Graham Mertz was supposed to be that in a bag of chips at quarterback, and he stinks. And that's on him. He's the quarterback guy. So in a weird way, even though he's been way more successful than Frost ever was at Nebraska, I think they're both kind of getting let go for the same thing.
Yeah, which is really ironic. Yeah, because you're right. And I had noticed that as I cover recruiting on a daily basis. I had noticed that Wisconsin Wisconsin's recruiting had definitely taken an uptick, but there was not that same development uptick that they had in the past, which was really their calling card. That was always the thing that people were worried about, right? If Wisconsin can ever marry kind of their development, strength and conditioning and stuff with having more elite recruits, then look out. And then it didn't quite work out that way under Chris. So, yeah, I do feel like they ended up in a weird way being let go for a lot of the same reasons, given the, you know, extreme difference in success under those two coaches.
Greg, when you look back at Solich when he was let go, and again, I believe him and Chris had the same identical record when they both were let go. When you look back at what they did after Solich, where do you think the biggest mistake was? I mean, should they have went with somebody off of that staff, who, by the way, Leipold was on that staff? Should it have been somebody from that staff that they went on? Should they have, you know, done it any differently? Because clearly, this the whole thing went sideways immediately after Solich.
Yeah, I think to me, the number one difference, and it's unfortunate to say this, but like the athletic director making the decision at that time was clearly the wrong guy at that point, Steve Peterson. That was part of the issue, right? And so if you've got better leadership, you'll get a better choice. And I think that both Wisconsin and Nebraska are in a better position there. But I also think that, you know, what happened with that search was Nebraska got turned down a bunch of times, right? They went to other names that were in college football,
like,
and ended up settling on. Well, they went, what was it? Houston Nutt one of the guys that they really thought that had, and it's so funny, but like these names that aren't even really relevant anymore, right? There were guys like that they thought that they'd be able to get, and then they ended up settling on Bill Callahan, which is kind of a head scratcher when it happened. And then we kind of saw how that went, even though I'll maintain that his recruiting operation, which they still have some guys that are here that were on that staff, was very good, but it just, you know, beyond the field, especially the defense, wasn't good. So what went wrong was Nebraska did not get a proven guy in the college ranks, which is funny, again, because that sounds exactly like Lance Leipold.
So let me explain this to me. So Leipold's not a big enough name for some Nebraska fans, alumni, whatever the case may be. So who do those fans want if it's not Leipold?
Oh, those fans, and I'm going to tell you right now, it's crazy, and they should not be doing this. Urban Meyer is their guy. Like, and it's nuts. It's nuts. Like, I don't understand, like, how we get, like, it's just crazy. I have to stop myself there. Like, it's just crazy to think about that would be the case. There's just no way. Like, I don't care how many good things Urban Meyer has said on TV about Nebraska, because he does that for every program that they visit, right? Like, on that Big Ten show.
Right.
That's not something that's unique. And yes, we understand that the fans are great and all of that, and Nebraska has a ton of money, but that doesn't mean that he's going to come here to resurrect this program, because the recruiting base just isn't here like that. He would never do something like that.
Now, Hold on. Now, let me just say this. I don't know academic standards at Nebraska versus at Wisconsin. I will tell you, there is a small section of fans that would love Urban Meyer at Wisconsin as well. So it's not...
Right, I've seen that, yeah.
Right, it's not the overwhelming, you know, sentiment, but I think there is a small portion that would love it. But again, because of the academic standards to get in, I don't know if he could be as successful as he was at some of these other schools. But when we talk about Nebraska, right, are they willing to move the line to get kids in if it helps the football program like they are at Ohio State and some other schools?
Yes. Now, that portion of it, they definitely do. They did it under Frost. So they would definitely do it for Urban Meyer. Yeah, that the part of it is not an issue. Wisconsin does have higher academic standards than Nebraska does, and it's tougher to get in. But also, that was always the reason why I didn't think this whole, like, Urban to Notre Dame thing was ever going to be a situational thing, because it's so much harder to get those kids in there, even harder to get them in there. But I still think that the name, like, the big, like, flashy, but still, like, attainable name that Nebraska is going to go after is Dave Aranda. Like, we mentioned him kind of off the top as a guy that you don't think he'd come back to Wisconsin, but I think that Nebraska would be thrilled to get him, and he matches up with a lot of things that athletic director Trev Alberts talks about.
So why would you leave? But see, this is what I don't understand. Why would he leave? I mean, he can get anybody into Baylor that he wants, anybody, more so than Nebraska or Wisconsin. So why would you even think about leaving Baylor at this point to go to the Big Ten, where you got to deal with Ohio State, you know, year in and year out, and then USC, if Lincoln Riley gets that thing turned around, that's going to be a problem. Like, it just seems to me to win this conference and be at the top is going to be tougher than maybe what it is at this point in the Big 12.
Oh, I definitely think that. But on the flip side of that, you're still in the Big 12, right? So the Big 12 money is not nearly the spot that the Big 10 money is right now, and where it's going, and the prestige of the league, like if that matters to him at all as well, that could be a situation that he looks at too. Because I think that there's only so much that you're going to be able to do at Baylor, right? And so eventually, he's probably going to have to, you know, move up in jobs if he desires to do that. So that's what's going to make that one interesting.
I would crush me. Don't let that happen. My God.
Oh, then I'm rooting for it. Jim, now I got to root for it.
If Jim Leonard ends up at Wisconsin and you all get Dave Aranda, I'm just going to just be sick to my stomach. Oh, my God. Please, please.
I have my dream scenario has just materialized.
That would be horrible. Because I think Dave Aranda could turn that program around. I really do. Because he can recruit.
Oh, I think he'd be great.
He coaches kids up. His coaching staffs have been really good. He knows, and he's been in the Big Ten with Wisconsin. So he knows what he's dealing with coming into the conference. The question now becomes, how much are they going to be willing to pay? I mean, is Albert's going to be given a full open checkbook by Nebraska and say, whatever it takes, go get who you want?
I would lean towards yes, just because of his history here at Nebraska and the way that people feel about Trev Alberts and what he can get done. Also, he said it during his press conference after the firing of Scott Frost that, you know, financial money will not be a limitation in who we hire. So he's kind of set that boundary as well. So that'll be fascinating to me. Does he have kind of the cachet to be able to spend like Mel Tucker money, which is crazy to say out loud, but the truth of where college football coaches' salaries are, I think he does. But it just depends on whether or not you find the guy that's worthy of that.
What about Lane Kiffin?
Oh, that'd be fascinating. Like that, I mean, from a media perspective, I would love that.
Because he can flat out recruit.
He's a guy that he's from Lincoln. He can definitely flat out recruit. He can coach too. Like for all of like kind of the stuff that happened in Oakland and all of that, like he's obviously a really, really good football coach. And he'll keep your program entertaining as well, right?
Oh, and he'll keep the Big Ten entertaining. Lane Kiffin against Brett Bielema. Give me some of that. That would be highly entertaining. No doubt about that. He has Greg Smith, the Rivals. And again, he's a friend of mine. For sure. Senior recruiting analyst at Inside Nebraska. Not a fan of the old BCS format in college football like I am, but it's all right, we'll move on. Hey, Greg, thanks so much for coming on, man. Really appreciate it.
Hey, thanks as always, man. Anytime.
You bet. You take care. There he is, Greg Smith, 55 past the hour. Milwaukee Sports time out here on 1250 AM, the fan.com.